Turn to the book of Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Praise the Lord Jesus. We'll start reading on Numbers 13, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, first of all. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one, a ruler among them. Now go to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land 40 days, And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people. For they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word, how you teach us. Lord, that you might admonish us and that we might learn to do your will. We pray, Lord, that you open up our eyes to see and our hearts to understand your word and what you want to tell us this morning. I pray, my Father, that if there's somebody here that's not saved, that you would save their soul. Lord, I pray that you would just draw us all closer to thee. And most of all, Father, I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, Israel is just fresh out of bondage. They've been out maybe for several months. According to the scriptures, they had spent a little bit of time here and there. They had just come from Horeb, where Moses had been up in the mountain talking to God for 40 days. And they had gone through so much, but they had also witnessed a tremendous amount of miracles. And now, here they are at Kadesh Barnea. They got Egypt behind them. They got the promised land in front, and God is with them. This would prove to be their Gettysburg. You know, I love to read about the Civil War, and it was the Gettysburg Battle, which was probably the biggest battle where so many people were killed. They claim that that was the turning point of the Civil War. The North, of course, won, but by a very small margin. The South could not afford to lose that many, and they lost, and from there it was downhill. There were still many battles to be fought. Nevertheless, Gettysburg was the turning point, and Kadesh Barnea is also going to be the turning point for Israel. They have come up this far. They're real close to crossing over, and what I see is that Israel would be given one more chance to prove whether they are really going to believe God. And you know, as I read Deuteronomy chapter 1, It says Moses is saying, and we'll be going to Deuteronomy 1 later. But Moses is saying in verse 31, he says that God brought them up just like a man brings up a son. And he brought them up to this point, Kadesh Barnea. In other words, what he's saying, that he had done everything. All the miracles in Egypt, they had all been done by God. It wasn't done by these people because they were great fighters or they were great warriors. These people had been in bondage for 400 years. They had just come out. They didn't know how to fight. The only thing they knew how to do was murmur and complain. They were in unison when it came to that. But other than that, they couldn't do anything. They were just babies. And you know, I just like the idea that God allows you to grow when you're born again. He doesn't put you immediately or expect you to go out on the streets and start preaching. And we have to also remember how we were born again and how we also started. The Bible says that you should be nourished with milk. And it isn't until later on that you begin to feed somebody meat. But if you start feeding some little baby meat, he's going to choke. And that's why so many times people get just saved and somebody's trying to push him to go in right away, to go out and preach and to go door knocking and to do this so many things and to give, and they can't and they choke. They wind up falling away. I'll never forget how when the Lord saved my soul and I found a good church that was teaching the truth, how at the beginning I started going only on Sunday mornings. I wouldn't go in the evenings. You see, I had come from bondage. I had been in a church where they only went Sunday mornings. And that's all I believed, and that's how I started. It wasn't until later on that I began going Sunday nights. And as time went by, I started going Wednesday nights. I realized that I needed to be in prayer. And shortly after, I realized, you know what? I need to give more than what I was given at my church. Over there, I would give a dollar, and I thought I had given a whole bunch. But now, as a Christian, I realized I have to give a little more, so I started giving a little bit more. It wasn't until about 4 months that I had been saved where the Lord pressed in my heart that I also needed to go in the streets. I also needed to go and tell somebody. Because you read the scriptures and it's inescapable. When you read the Bible, you're going to come to that conclusion that you're supposed to go and tell. You're supposed to go and preach. Over and over he tells you, do the work of an evangelist. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. So when you read the Bible, you're going to be convicted of that, especially if you want to serve the Lord and do His good will. So I just thank the Lord that He allowed me to grow up and be nourished. And this is exactly what He's doing with Israel. You know, Israel began, they were in bondage and they were taken out. And all along, He's just like dragging a little baby who don't want to go to church. He don't want to go shopping. He don't want to go nowhere, and he's going to be rebellious. And you see Israel, when they get to the Red Sea, and of course you can understand that they got an army behind them. They got the Red Sea in front. They started murmuring and complaining. I would too. Even though they had already seen 10 tremendous miracles of God, they believed, okay, now here it is. God just brought us here just to kill us. God didn't spank them because they complained. They're babies. Instead, God did 3 tremendous miracles right in front of their face. He opened up the Red Sea. That's a miracle. Then He dried that land so that they could walk on dry land. Another miracle. And then He killed all the army that was behind them. He drowned them. Another miracle. But then they continued to go. And they were singing and praying and singing the song of Moses. They understood that this was God. That He was a man of war. What other God is like unto our God? And then they get to the waters of Marah. And again, they began to complain. But you can understand them. They just came out of bondage. They don't know too much. It's just like I didn't know much when I came out of my bondage of sin, my bondage of religion. It was hard for me to understand some things. So they began to complain. The Lord didn't spank them. Instead, He did another miracle and sweetened the waters. Then they go to the next one. They go to the wilderness of sin. And here is where they began to complain, you know what, we need to eat. And of course, it's understandable, but by now I'm thinking they haven't realized it. This is God Almighty, the one that's doing these miracles. Why don't they just call on Him instead of complaining so much? They had already seen so many miracles, they knew that it was God that was leading them. He would lead them by day with a cloud. He would lead them by night with a pillar. He had already done so much, and now they're still complaining. And God sent them bread from heaven. And you see, God didn't spank them. And then the next thing you know, they go to Rephidim. And of course, they're complaining. They need water. They needed to take a bath. They were beginning to stink. They needed to drink because now they had eaten. That's understandable. They murmur and complain again. And again, God treat them just like little babies. And He gave them that rock that followed them for 40 years. And just one miracle after another, and then they get to Horeb, where Moses leaves them alone for 40 days. The next thing you know, they're wondering, where is Moses? He's not coming back. He left us here. Let's make another God. And by this time, you're wondering, when are they going to learn? How long is God going to be long-suffering with these people? And they just, finally, when Moses came, many of them had to pay a heavy penalty. Many people died. And but you know, the thing is that now they're at Kadesh Barnea. This is a time of decision. This is a time to grow up. You can't be a baby forever. God's going to have to deal with you. And Canaan, my friend, just to cross over is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of victorious Christian living. And that's if you do God's will. If you do what God tells you to do, you're going to have victory. But it also teaches that if you do it your way, which many Christians like to do, then you're also going to fail. And you're going to get spanked. So that's what Canaan teaches. It's the way I look at it, it's a war zone. They were getting ready to go into a place where they were going to have to fight and fight continually. It was not going to be an easy trip. It was going to be the enemies already there, well entrenched. They got big cities. They got high walls. They're well trained. And they're not giving up. And what I see is it's a war zone, but that's what the Christian life is all about. God is trying to teach you that in this life, it's going to be hard. When they crossed over eventually, 40 years later, and they wind up crossing into Canaan, they found out that it was a place that had hills. It had mountains. It had valleys. And that's exactly what life is all about, my friend. In this life, you're going to have problems. The Bible says that life is short and full of troubles. And this is what the Lord is trying to teach us. But what I'd like to ask you this morning is, where are you this morning? We all have to come to our Kadesh Barnea eventually. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you already came. Which direction did you go? Did you go across into Canaan? Or are you fighting and following the Lord in what He has told you to do? Or have you just turned back and you didn't believe God and you're now wandering in the wilderness? It's very important, and that's why I see this juncture, I see this turning point of Israel as an important part of life. This is their turning point. This is where they have to grow up. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where they have to make a decision. And so many people, once they get saved, they don't want to serve. They get saved and all they want to do is just come and sit and sour. They think that going to church is just like going to work. You're just going clock in and clock out. You've put your time, and that's sufficient. And I want you to know that that was my mentality when I was lost. My mentality was that if I would just go to my church on Sunday, and sometimes if I was going to be busy on Sunday, if we were going to go and barbecue or go to the lake and have fun and drink beer, then it was time to go on Saturday. And that's what we would do. That's what my church allowed. We could go on Saturday, and as soon as I came out, I felt, wow, I made my obligation. But once I got saved, I realized I had been wrong all my life. Many Christians never get out. They continue doing the same thing. They continue coming only on Sunday mornings. Sometimes Sunday nights. Sometimes once in a while on Wednesdays. But you know, the thing is that what are you doing for the Lord? You have to make up your mind. You cannot stay in suspension. The Christian life is not just wandering through the wilderness. But that's exactly what so many people do. I'd like you to go now to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is where Moses is given a recap of what has taken place. He's been already 39 years and 11 months. He's got 1 month to train them and to tell them, give them the last instructions. And he's given them a recap of what had happened to their grandparents or to their fathers, the ones who had come out of Egypt, the ones who didn't make it. By this time, every single person that had rejected the Lord and had wandered in the wilderness, they were all dead, including the 10 that gave the bad report. Even Moses was not going to go over. But look what Moses is saying on Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee." Now pay attention to this. "Go up and possess it." That's what God had told them to do. "As the Lord God of thy father has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what city we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." You know what Moses is saying. In Numbers 13, I read to you what God had said. He says, "Go ye and search out the land. Send 12 men." And Moses immediately sent them. When they came back, they said, "We have searched the land just like you commanded." But God had all, the thing is that it, that's not how it originated. Moses is setting things in order. He's telling you how everything really took place. And what he's saying, he says that it was done because of the hardness of their heart. You know, and that's many times that is what people do. They want their petitions heard. They want to do their will. And finally, God allows you to have your petition just so he can teach you a lesson. But you know, I begin to count how many times had God said in the beginning that he would give them this land. And if you begin to search it, I found it in Genesis 12, verse 7, where God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's going to belong to you and to all your people. And as I began to read, he began to tell them, and he gave them exactly 7 times He told Abraham from chapter 12 to chapter 24 of Genesis. I'm giving you this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's big and it's great and it's fruitful. And he even told them the boundaries. He told them the countries that are already stationed there. Nothing was left to chance. Then you get into the times that he told his son Isaac, and he told them six times. Then I counted the times that God told us, said the same thing in the book of Exodus. I counted 13 times, including when Moses was at the bush that would not burn, when he said, "I have heard the cry of my people. I am sending you to Egypt to go and get them. And I am sending them to a land flowing with milk and honey." You see, this had already been covenanted by God. He had already promised he was going to give them this land. Why on earth would he send them now to go and spy out the land? It wasn't God's idea. It was man's idea. And what Moses is saying here, you all came into me. You're the one that came and told me, send us out. We want to go and spy it out. The report that they came, beloved, every single thing that they came, they said exactly what God had already said. All the countries that they named out, God had already named them before. They say, truly this is a place flowing with milk and honey. God had told them many, many times. But many times, you know what I find in the scriptures? That God will grant you your petition because you're too stubborn. You want everything done your way. And we see it in the scriptures over and over. We see also where the Israelites began to complain, "Oh, I wish we were still back in Egypt. In Egypt we had meat. We would gather around those pots of flesh, waiting for the caldo to come out so we could eat." They were loathing that thing. They wanted to go back. And God said, "Okay, all right. I'll grant you your meat," and he sent them quail. And the Bible says that even while their meat was in their teeth, they began to choke and die. Along with the meat, God also sent them a plague. When you read Psalm 106, which is another place where you'll find the chronology of everything that happened in the wilderness, you'll find that God says that he granted their petition, but sent leanness into their soul. You see, many times people will stubbornly do one thing or another, and they don't care what God says. Even though God has already told you, go and preach, go and tell. But no, you're going to say, "I can't. Don't you see? I've got this to do and that to do. I just don't have the time." That's baloney. If God has seen you, that means you can go. But you see, it's just like he had already told them all these things, and the people would still just do whatever they want to do. But you know what I see in the scriptures is that many times God will grant you your petition only to teach you a lesson, and that's exactly what he did. You find in the scriptures where they talked to Jesus and said, "How come Moses granted divorce?" And Jesus said it was because of the hardness of your heart that you got it. It wasn't because it pleased the Lord. It wasn't because it was okay. It was because of the hardness of your heart. Many times you're allowed to have what you want. I was just being told about another Christian. Yesterday they were telling me the story how he wanted so much because he had been taught in his church that you name it and you can claim it. And that is so wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. If the Bible does say that that you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, you want to consume it with your lust. And so many people think that all they need to do is name it and claim it and it's yours. Positive thinking. That's not what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, John says in 1 John chapter 3, he says that in whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. He said, because we keep his commandments. That's a big if. and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see, it's not because of what you want. Surely, God will reward those that are doing His will. God will reward His good children. But if you just want it just because you say so, many times God will allow it, just like the story that I started telling you about this man that wanted a certain thing, and it was a job that he wanted. Well, he wouldn't get hired. Then he began to name it and claim it, and finally he went and complained. And then finally, after many complaints, they went ahead and hired him. And a few months later, he was late to work, and they fired him. You see, many times you want something, and you're going to demand that you get it, and it's not God's will. I've put applications where I thought I was the best qualified. And just recently, I put up one where I work. A job came out that it was for a fraud investigator. And I said, man, that's what I used to do. And they called me for the interview, and they wanted 2 years of college. I said, I got four. Give us your experience. And I told them, I've done this, I've done that. How about stakeouts? I've done stakeouts. How about confession statements? I've done all of that. Everything they said, I had it over and above and plus. I knew nobody could compete with me, but they didn't call me. People would say, you ought to complain. Go to HR and go tell them and complain. I said, no, because I prayed. And I said, Lord, if this is not your will, I don't want it. I don't want to force myself into anybody. Maybe they saw, okay, this guy's an old gizzard. He's too old already. He's ready to die. They asked me the question, okay, what is your long-term plan for this? And I felt like saying breathing and eating. What can I tell them? I'm 62 years old. I can't tell them, well, I plan on working till I'm 95. No. They wanted maybe to give a chance to somebody that's young, that can stay there for years. I understand. So why complain? Just because I got the experience, that doesn't, and maybe God didn't want me there. So I have to obey what God says, and I shouldn't be so stubborn, just like these people were so stubborn. And the next thing you know, they're all dying because they got meat that they shouldn't have got. But you know, that's just the way we all are. The thing is that they had to make a decision. And the Apostle Paul says it very clearly, that when he got saved, in Galatians 1:16, you can check it. But he says when he got saved to reveal his son in him. He said that I might preach the gospel to the heathen. That's why you were saved. That's why I was saved. That's why Paul was saved. When God wanted to send these people, He says, go and possess the land. He didn't say, go out and search it. But then after they complained and said, we want to go, God said, okay, go on and go do what you want to do. And of course, they came back with a bad report. And Moses, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 1, he says, and the report pleased me. Well, if you read later on, you'll see where Moses says, God was very upset with me. He says, and you're not going in either. Of course, you also know what else he did that he was told he wasn't. But sometimes those that are in leadership positions, sometimes they get lied to. Sometimes people don't tell them all the truth. I just counseled somebody, and I found out later on, they didn't tell me all the truth. They left some very important things out. It's very important. And the thing is that Moses, you know, I'm sure he had so many complaints, so many things to worry about. But here he is. He's got these people coming up and complaining. He finally said, yeah, okay, fine, go on. It cost them. We have to be very careful what we approve and what we disapprove. But you know, my friend, when you come to church, you don't come here just to check in and check out. You don't come here just to clock in and clock out and your obligation is completed. You come here basically to get reloaded. You come here to hear the Word of God, to sharpen the sword. You come here, the Bible said that iron sharpens iron. And that's what we do when we have the open meetings. Everybody brings out their iron, and we sharpen each other's iron. You come here to get your marching orders. You come here to fill up with the Word of God so you can go out and go preach. And this is what we need to do. We need to be well armed. Yesterday, my grandson, he's in track, and he likes to run around my property. And he's out there running around, and then he comes into the house, and he says, "Grandpa, I just saw a humongous snake." I said, "What color was it?" He said, "It was red, and he had some black spots." I said, "Okay, it's a copperhead." I said, "How big was it?" "Oh, it was this big, Grandpa." I didn't stop to look at it that well, but it looked this big and this thick. I said, "Man, that'll be the biggest snake I've ever seen. I've killed 9, and they were all little." But you know, when you're running by and you're scared, he said, "Man, Grandpa, I ran so fast, faster than I run in the track field." And I said, "Okay, no problem." And I grabbed my .22 Magnum rifle. I grabbed one of my Glock guns. And I said, "Let's go search for that serpent." You see, I like to be well armed. I like to be able to just knock it out, or if it's running at a long distance, I like to shoot it. I like to be well prepared. I like to be well armed. And of course, when I go door knocking, I don't take guns with me. Nevertheless, I'm well armed with the Word of God, my friend. I'm there ready to preach for 5 minutes or to preach for 2 or 3 hours if I have to, and I've done it many times. People have allowed me in their homes, and I'm ready to answer every question they've got. I'm ready to teach any topic, any doctrine. I am well prepared. I have a lot of notes on my Bible. I don't depend on my memory. I depend on my notes. Brother Kincaid has many times said, "I'd rather depend on a short pencil than a long memory." I believe on that. I got notes all over the place. I'm ready to defend anything, and that's how you should be. God has saved you to be a witness. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But you know, turn now to Matthew 25. This is the last thing I'm going to be talking about. Matthew 25. God is talking here about the end times. Let me read to you verse 24. Chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" You know, this parable is in the context of the end of time. It's right after the 10 virgins. And God has given us 2 time periods in this parable. One of them is the present day of responsibility. The second is the future time of accountability. Right now is responsibility time. Right now is the time when you ought to take advantage of it. You don't want to wait till judgment comes. You don't want to wait till responsibility comes. Where you have to give accountability, rather. Where God will have to judge you, and He'll have to say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant. You should have put it to the usury. You should have used it. In other words, you should have given your money to those that have gone if you can't go yourself. You will be a partaker of this. You are to be praying for those that are going. If you can't go, if maybe you need a partner, look for somebody that has experience and go with them and learn. But the Bible tells you very plainly that one day you will have to give an account. One day, if you don't do nothing, you will be saying, "Oh, I wish I had done something. I wish I had gone." But it'll be too late. It's going to be a very hard time when God Himself calls you, "You wicked, you slothful servant. You should have gone and done what I had told you." You know, my friends, Peter and Andrew were brothers. They were very different from one another. You see where Peter is very bold. He's ready to speak. And his brother Andrew, very quiet. But when you search out Andrew, you find out that he's the one that brought Peter to the Lord. And even though maybe you're not as bold as Peter, maybe your preaching is not going to save thousands like he did, but Peter wouldn't have done nothing if Andrew hadn't brought him to the Lord. And so many times, people have brought people that they didn't think nothing of it. They were just faithful. And then that person becomes a great preacher and brings many people to the Lord. You know, the main thing is that, how about you? Where are you this morning? Are you still wondering? Sooner or later, if you haven't come to your Kadesh, you will come to it. I hope your decision is to go forward. I hope your decision is not to doubt God. That's what these people did. They decided not to listen to what God had to say. They had all the evidence there to know that this was God, the one that was given in commands. Just like you have all the evidence to know that what the Bible says is true. We have all the documentation. We have all the history. Everything confirmed that the Word of God, it is truly the Word of God. You have no excuse. You won't be found not guilty. Even the Queen of the South, the Bible says, she will come and testify against this evil and adulterous generation. But the time will come, beloved, when you will have to answer for your account. What have you done? Now, I've been talking mostly to Christians. It is the Christian that God has called to go and preach the gospel. But if you're here this morning, you don't have to go out also into outer darkness. Maybe this is the last time you'll hear the gospel. And the gospel is, my friend, that Jesus Christ came. He humbled himself as a man. He came so that he could go to the cross and take all your sins. He was sinless. Nobody else could do it but him. He died and paid for all your sins. And if you would just repent of your sins and humble yourself, realize that you can't make it on your own, and put your faith and trust in him, call upon his name, you'll be washing away your sins. That's exactly what Paul did. Ananias came and told him, "Now, Paul, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." That's how Paul got saved, Acts 22. Later on, he wrote Romans, and he said, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you would just call on him, even this morning while you're sitting, God will save you. Now, it's not really so much what comes out of your lips, but what really comes out of your heart. Jesus said, "These people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So you need to put your money where your mouth is. You need to really come to the Lord with all your heart. Don't leave nothing to chance. If you have any doubts as to where you'll go, then make it right now. You have to live by faith. Jesus says, without faith, you cannot please God. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. He will cleanse you of your sins. We're going to stand up and sing 249.